Welcome to the April 24th, 2019 regular meeting of the Kingston Port Commission at 6:32. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regular scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. Let's call to order and let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. It's over that
way. Approximately there.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have an approval of the agenda as written?
So moved.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion you need to add? Did you need to add something?
No, it's in there. It's in there.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Consent agenda. These met. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over public comment. Public comment!
I don't have any comments.
Oh! Okay. So, consent agenda now. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. We're looking at the February 14th, 2019 special meeting minutes. Have you guys both had a chance to look these over?
I did.
Can I have a motion?
I will move.
Did we do all of them at once?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
the consent agenda as stated.
Second?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
So our financial report.
So the financials, we got some staff changes and the financials are not ready. We will have them ready, I believe, probably by the end of that next week latest. I did actually get some submittals, but I haven't reviewed them, so I don't want to go forward. But we'll have those probably by the end of next week latest, and then we'll revert back. And the next commission meeting, you'll get two sets of financials just so everybody gets to review it.
Okay.
And that's it in the nutshell.
Thank you. Okay. Action items, the OESD PSA. Greg, do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, so this is a professional service agreement with the Olympic School District, and we have a contract with them. The contract is going to be increasing mainly because their labor costs are increasing. It's primarily it's professional services, so it's really that's really where it's coming from. It's not much of a difference between what we've had and going forward. We'll, you know, they'll show up about once a week. It gives them a little bit more latitude because they have some being able to be if something sick is the freaking on staffing and cross training and trying to bring people in order to understand our network and servers and everything like that. So that, I'm kind of happy that they're actually cross training with additional staff, because otherwise, if we had the primary individual, if they didn't show up, well, then we're out of luck, and no one really knew that much about it. So yeah, so I think I recommend that we move forward with the contract as is. We will look at some other options in the future, I think, just to see, make sure that they're competitive. But for what we're getting, I think it's a pretty good deal. They did upgrade our servers and have been working really well, I think, with Lacey, especially on with executive admin on the network, and migrating files and getting things organized and cleaning a lot of stuff up. So I know they're especially strong on networking and servers and hardware. Software, maybe they can, you know, give you a little additional help, but that's fine. So I recommend that, anyway, the commission approves this PSA.
May the action items, do we approve them one at a time? Okay, thank you, Lacey.
What I like about that, that company is that because they work with school districts, they're really savvy on virus protection and hacking and things like that. They have a really good track record on that kind of thing. So
it's fire districts too, isn't it?
And the fire districts, yeah.
There, and so, you know, it really is different with public sector versus private, because they have layers and layers of security, and even for us, for somebody to hack in. And so they're instituting these things. So if they get into us, they're getting into almost anything and everybody, you know, that's in the whole throughout the county. So that is something that's a little bit specialized, unique amongst them. So I think that is a real benefit to us. You just don't know anymore. It's amazing where the threats are coming from that you don't even aren't even aware of. So we did discuss that with them, in fact, about, because we were talking, there was some concern amongst some of the customers about, hey, is their information secure, et cetera. And, they were behind, 8, 9, 10 firewalls. So I think it is good to have them from that perspective, for sure. They're pretty sophisticated as far as that goes.
They also are, because they're public, they understand the public records aspect of it. And I was just discussing with Katie today, training, they offer training as well, opportunities, and so she was asking me on my opinion on what kind of training would be good, and so I talked to her a little bit about what the public sector might like, as far as computer training goes. So.
And she's the one instead of Zach?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. They're local too. That's another really good thing.
Yeah.
Very local.
Can I ask just a question?
Yes.
Their scope, Greg. Do they perform backup services also, or do we do our own?
They do perform backup services, and I think that I talked a little bit about that, whether or not, because we were looking at doing it offsite, make sure that we have some offsite in the cloud where it's just secured, right. And my understanding talking about the data was that so we would have it on our service and then they would also back it up offsite, and it would be basically in the same data network that they use the schools, the fire district and all that. So it's kind of in the same, even though it's in the cloud, there is a physical area where it's, where they have these buildings where they store this information. So
is it virtual? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
It's virtual, so we would only lose a day's worth of information.
Exactly. If that, they back it up. I think it's backed up pretty common. Yeah, so it's backed up quite often, but it's like, I know it's every day.
Yes, every day.
I was trying to remember what you lose very little data, I believe. Very little. So, which would be great for us, because it's going back even a day or more than a day is like a big deal.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Our next one is retroactively the 3.2 CPI increase to staff wages.
So the commission approved last October, they approved a originally 3.0% increase that was a cost of living. However, that was interpreted as a CPI increase instead of using a static 3.0%. So what was interpreted was that, you give them a cost of living increase. Some people interpreted it as a CPI, which is not necessarily unusual, but that isn't what the commission directed. So this is somewhat of a departure from that. So what we just want to acknowledge that this is a difference than what the commission, I believe, had given direction for, and seek commission approval for 3.2%, which is what the CPI increase was. Now, I don't have in front of me the spreadsheet which would give you the exact amount, what the differential was, but so I don't want to arbitrarily just tell you how much it was, or if I can provide that to you once I've reviewed the spreadsheet and confirmed all the numbers, then I can send it to you, as well as it's open to the public, it's public information.
Do you have an order of magnitude?
Not in my head, and I hate quoting numbers unless I see the number in front of me, because I just like to be correct. But it, you know, it's a 0.2%. I don't think it's going to be really, really significant.
0.2%.
Yeah, right. From 3.0 to 3.2%. Can't remember the exact amount, but it's not huge. But it's more, you gave direction that it was a 3.0 cost of living,
and that's
not the same as a 3.2% CPI, and it was just interpreted wrong, and so
we're correcting that.
And then I assume we'll have a retroactive in, say, the next pay period to get everybody up to.
They're up to, so they did receive it, and that's part of the issue to me. It's like, okay, we can go back and we can take it away. It's so marginal the administrative cost to do it, but it should be something that when we give a recommendation to the commission in the future for any changes or improvements, it needs to be followed exactly to what commission direction is and exactly to what's been represented to the public.
Correct.
And that's what will happen in the future.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
So I move to approve retroactively the 3.2 CPI increase to staff wages.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Yeah. I am going to vote for this because I think it's important, but I would like to say that I am uncomfortable with voting for something that I don't know how much we're talking about or how it compares to the budget or anything like that. So in the future, my request would be that this not come to us without that info.
Yep, noted.
That kind of info. Cool.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Our next action item is the Endurus renewal agreement for our insurance.
So there's an annual review of the Endurus. So we belong to the risk pool. That's what many port authorities as well as fire districts, and I forgot what it was formerly known as, but now it's known as Endurus. And what they're doing is, this is a request that we renew for the insurance, which starts actually September 1 of this year. What you're not seeing here is what I was told was the change. So we have to go and submit the information, any changes in the insurance. What I was told is we were going to get an increase, and the new rate is going to be at $95,000 would be the increase for next year. The reason that there's going to be a significant increase is partly because of our loss claim ratio. Another component of it is the liability for property and the value of the property going up. And another component of it is that Endurus is trying to rebuild some cash reserves after incurring losses from a number of different agencies. So, because I asked them a little bit, I asked them pointedly actually, you know, what accounts for the increase from 79,000 this year to 85,000 next year, and that's what the breakdown was. So we'll look at it, though. I guess I would say I would recommend that next year I'm going to actually look at other options for insurance, just to be sure to see what kind of coverage we would get, how this compares to the overall market, and go from there. But I still recommend that we move forward with it. We need to have coverage. There isn't a significant change in our inventory. There's not a significant change in overall in our coverage or anything along that line. And I don't believe that we're going to be, trying to do everything we can to assess whether or not there's risks that could cause some sort of a risk event, which would increase our, we'd have a loss of some sort. Right now, I'm not seeing that there's a high level of risk, but they are. When they do have a payout for a loss ratio, when you have a bad loss ratio, they're going to try to make that money back. So you could have been paying into it, let's just say, for years, right? And maybe you're paying 40, 50, 60,000 over years. And then you have a loss ratio hit to it. Well, then they're going to say, oh, okay, you're usually going to want to increase your rates like any premium if you have a significant event. So, but this also, but part of this, though, like I said, was they did have a number of claims, and so we're part of this pool, and so they're trying to build what they believe is what the cash reserve should be at overall for this. So we will be seeing an increase to 95,000 for next year.
Yeah.
And
16,000 more.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Because you got to pay before you usually use it, you're paying into it, it's just float. So it always just kind of bugs me, you know. I mean, and I love investing in them, but I don't like paying premiums. But.
So do I have a motion on the floor?
I move that we approve the Endurance policy extension for another year.
And I'll second that.
Discussion.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a couple of things. So the property schedule, which shows the policy year from September of 18 through basically 19, is that the year we're approving here,
no,
or is
this
it the
is
year
current.
After?
Yeah, this is current. And what they'll do is you have to go online, and if you approve it, then I'll go online and I'll submit for it. But I already asked them what's going to happen to the premiums for through, let's say, August 31st of 2020. And so you have to submit now in order to hit the deadline. This is the thing that really is unsettling to me. Like, normally I'd want to know, okay, this is exactly what I'm paying. But I did go over it with them, and that's why they said explicitly it was going to go up to 95,000. And I said, well, what accounts for the breakdown? And they said, well, a significant portion of the, I think it was a 17% increase or something, is property liability. And then there was another 3% for other exposures, like a 4%, and that basically is going towards rebuilding cash reserves as much as anything, along with the fact that we had a pretty significant claim that put our loss ratio at pretty disadvantage, you know, pretty bad situation for us. So they're going to say, hey, we need to rebuild. You've been paying in, but then you consumed a significant portion of what you paid in, and we need to rebuild our cash reserves based upon overall claims across the board. But that 4% is specific to the Port of Kingston as a result.
Okay.
There's lots of claims.
Yeah.
So what we have built into the budget for this year is what we are paying, or
yes.
Is, okay.
Yeah, but for next year, we need to build in.
Make sure that we, that yes.
$16,000.
So that'll be the 95 is next year.
Yes. And that's what I asked them. Well, what are we approving? What am I exactly going to get? And it's within, it'll be 95,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the deductibles. Is this $1,000 deductible for each of these items?
Yeah.
And I don't understand why something that has a value of $6,000 has the same deductible as something with a value of $3 million.
Uh-huh.
I thought you might be able to explain that to us.
So what they're saying is basically, so anything where we have, let's say, any kind of claim, we're only going to be paying out of pocket $1,000 no matter what the severity of the claim is. The problem is, it's no different than your personal life. The question that you have to ask yourself is, should we submit a claim for a $2,000 problem? Because then what's happening is, you know, you're still paying the $1,000, but it goes into your loss ratio. So what happens is they will look at, the actuaries are going to look at that statistically and say, oh, you're having X number of claims and whatnot. How much are you utilizing it? Mm-hmm. What's their exposure? But what's good about this is that it means that for the port, we have very little, given our cash reserves and the situation we're in, we have very little potential exposure unless they deny a claim.
Right.
And I think that's where it gets back to where you understand other ports where they may have heard you may have got a denial of a claim, significant claim.
Mm-hmm.
The deductible does you no good. So that's kind of the concern, and that's where what we'll try to do operationally is make sure that we've inspected our assets, we've inspected our operations, and then we try to build in best practices so that we insulate ourselves, regardless, it's an ounce of prevention, we insulate ourselves from a potential claim.
So it's 1,000 per occurrence, correct?
Yeah.
But also based on, you know, the value of the structure or item, whatever that is. So,
So, you know, we could increase the deductible pretty substantially, do different things, but the problem that we're going to run into is the fact that our cash reserves were drawn down, and so it could put us at risk. And then the other risk that, you know, the other concern we would have is if they were to deny a claim and it was a significant event, then we would probably be forced to using a bunch of cash reserves for litigation. And it could be litigation against our risk pool, or it could be against all parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know what the protocol is, but I would like to amend the motion to include the dates of coverage, which I understand to be 9/1/2019 through 8/31/2020.
That's good.
8/31,
yeah.
Yep.
So I have a motion and I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. So we've reached another point of public comment.
Still
have
a thought of anything?
You don't have a, okay. So commissioners' reports. Steve, would you like
to start? Well, I can start, sure.
Okay.
There's a couple of things that were interesting this month that I was involved with. One of them, and both Greg and Mary went to this meeting, and maybe an item for discussion, and kind of really one of my concerns in relation to the insurance company and the thought of, you know, seeking additional providers potentially, was the fact that our insurance pool has recently denied a claim in our Kitsap All Ports group to something that didn't quite seem right. They should have denied it. And it was for the Port of Allen. So in the last storm event over the winter, the Port of Allen lost their float. Their private, they have a boat ramp, and then they have a very small pier ramp and float, and apparently they provide a claim to get that thing repaired, fixed and repaired. And from what I gathered, that the facility was only 18 years old. So it seems like it still has its life. You know, there's not many pier ramp and float constructed that are constructed outside of a, you know, 25 to 30 year window for life, at least. So the fact that they denied that particular claim, I really was concerned hearing that from the Port of Allen's executive director. So I think it's prudent that we do take a look at our insurance coverage and do some initial discovery with that. We've got to do that.
Did they say why?
They did not say why they were denying it. That he could really explain, but.
And one of the things that I found particularly distressing was that apparently the staff person that they'd been working with closely and on this claim for months had been saying this was a good claim, no problem, and then he was fired, and they denied it. And that was the story that was told.
Yeah. The staff person at the insurance company.
Yes, and so it suggests a true change of course for the company, or so.
Seemed to be, right. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing I've been involved with, Kitsap County has a transportation improvement program that is receiving applications right now for prioritization of transportation projects. So I actually met with Mark Libby, who's the trail committee chair for Kingston Citizen Advisory Committee, and as our kind of affiliation with that particular group, we did take a look at some interesting projects that I think actually have a really good transitional fit with the port facility and walkability of the community as well. So we're really looking at that as part of a thing we might be able to help do an ALEA grant or, you know, a IAC grant or something like that to be able to match that in with some different plans for the community. Some of these have trail connectivity for pretty large areas of the Kingston area that would be very beneficial to get people out of their cars. Some of the things that Mary's been working with is obviously getting cars off of the highway so that the town works, but also, you know, if people want to be able to get to town or get to the port and they can walk or bicycle and do that, and they don't need to be in their car. So it's just another piece of the puzzle. Yeah. So it was pretty good. And that's it. That's about all I had.
I wanted to also comment how valuable I found the small ports meeting, the Enduris conversation, but I also found there were sprinkled comments about that demonstrated different attitudes towards little ports. Some marinas consider them a real asset. Others are concerned about additional cost and liability, and I am hoping that sometime this year we can have a robust conversation about our experience with liveaboards and, you know, what the fate of the Marina Host program that was brought up last year and not really operationalized, and you know, kind of what our policy thinking is about that. The other thing I did want to announce, and I think I've mentioned this in a work session, but I wanted to memorialize it here, is that the memorandum of understanding among the five partner agencies is all signed, and yes, to do the Lindbaugh Road project, and which actually is not doing the entire project, it is doing the feasibility study. If you'll forgive me for a few moments, I'd just like to kind of look at it from three steps back.
Yeah, good.
When that piece of property, 10 plus or minus acres on the corner of Lindbaugh, was purchased, the idea was slam dunk, no problem, this could be easily a holding lot for the ferry. And so that sat over there for all those years, nothing happening, but this idea that there's
20-some years.
Yeah, 20-some. And so last year when we first started really exploring this and saying, what would this take to do, and we got some proviso money from Senator Rolfes to do a feasibility study, I think the concept at the time was that it would be pretty much a slam dunk because we knew it was all fine, because we'd all been thinking for 20-something years that it was pretty easy. And what's evolved in everyone's understanding, and this is the county, the DOT, WSF, Kitsap Transit, and the port, is that there may be some complexities that affect how what a good job it could do or not. The two biggest ones being the question of the steep slope, which could involve putting up walls and then trying to create a flat surface and that sort of thing in order to handle enough traffic, enough waiting ferry riders to be worth it. And so that has to be evaluated. And the other question also is the stormwater, how that will be handled, because it's a lot of paved surface. And So that has to be closely coordinated. And the third thing, which I don't think is necessarily a barrier, but just something else that really needs to be planned carefully, is the relationship, the operational relationship between the ferry holding lot and the realignment. I always want to call it a bypass, but the realignment.
Realignment, that's right.
Yes. I knew you were looking.
Yeah, come on, word. Not the word you use all the time. Anyway, I think the expectation among the partner agencies at this point is that various technology, signage technology, will be involved. And so whoever does this needs to work closely with particularly WSF and DOT to make sure that that's possible and that the two projects are in fact operationally simpatico. So it's very easy to say, oh, another study, but in fact the work that's being done here, these questions have to be answered, and with the bad potential that we could get through it and say there really are problems and this may not work. But in any event, the work that's being done now, that will be done through this project, is all work that will have to be done as part of full design and engineering anyway. So it just will take us to a certain point where evaluation can be made, and then we'll know how much it'll cost, we'll know what the problems are, and we'll be able to solve them. The other thing that I found very interesting in the course of, you know, kind of the last phase of getting everyone signed and moving, was the strength of WSF's interest in a ferry holding lot. There has been some peripheral conversation about the possibility of, well, if the ferry holding lot doesn't work, then we could just widen out 104 all the way up the road. And WSF essentially said, that's not our interest. Our interest is a viable holding lot, which was not where they were when we started.
That's true.
20 years ago,
yeah.
Or even necessarily 6 months ago. So they have turned a corner and are real supportive of our vision. And the other thing that occurred that's very different than when we started was that when we started, Kitsap Transit was talking about doing a full-on transfer station, which requires a lot more pavement in order to allow bus turnarounds and that sort of thing. And they have since decided that they're not going to do that, that what they really want to do is make sure that there is straightaway access to the ferry, both theirs and WSF, and that simplifies what needs to happen at the holding lot if we don't have to create a transit center. And a peripheral question was whether or not there would be weekday commuter parking, with the assumption that it wouldn't be used very much during the week. But in fact, the statistics that the Ferry Advisory Committee has furnished makes it really clear that there really isn't a big period in the middle of the week when there's no traffic backup. The traffic backup is across the board enough that we really can't rely upon those spaces for commuter parking. And so that changed the picture of what it needed to be, but it also was a sticking point for Kitsap Transit with their commitment to there being as much commuter parking downtown or serving downtown as possible. And they finally said, we get it, okay, it's not, that's not going to happen, that's not the function. But there's been a fair amount of shifting understanding over the last months that we've been developing this. And so the fact that everybody's on the same page, figures out what we're going to do, this is great. And I'm just waiting to hear which of two people at DOT will actually sign. Then the next step, which is a memorandum of agreement between Department of Transportation and Port for us to manage this project. And at the same time, we're putting together the procurement process, the set of the interview questions, who we're going to interview, what the packet looks like, and so on and so forth. So we're off and running.
This is so huge. Cool.
It is huge.
It's huge that you have. I remember you saying that you couldn't think of a time previously where all these five agencies came together and actually signed something in agreement with each other that they were going to move forward.
And that they are all requiring the commitment of each other in order to move forward.
Right.
That to me was also very significant.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
Kudos.
So,
yes.
Can I ask you a question, Mary, about backing up to the little work? Did you, you mentioned the Marina Hose Program. Did any, did you hear, did any of the other ports talk about having one?
No. They did talk about, it was clear that they, that some of their liver boards functioned in that way, but it wasn't clear that they had a program. And I just don't know what the outcome of our thinking about that last year was.
It was interesting that at the Kids at Ports meeting that we just had, that the liver boards at the Port of Brownsville were the ones who actually were there, saw the fire that happened there at the marina, and acted very quickly to get the fire department there and the port personnel there as well. But probably if it was not for an active liveaboard group there at the Port of Brownsville, they would have been much greater losses. At this point, their losses were only $300,000. And, you know, that's not insignificant.
Well, they had porn down marine, and, but also liveaboards are statistically by far and away the highest risk of any group, because most fires start on liveaboards because they do it yourselfers of electrical, which is a lot of times or different equipment. So there's always different dynamics, and I don't want to say it's opinion, because I'd rather get it down to whether or not it makes sense, you know. And honestly, it's like any, it's, when you think of it, first of all, we don't have tenant, landlord-tenant relationships with bound vessels. That's critical to recognize.
Yeah.
If you depart and you go that direction, well, then that's a whole different animal, statutorily and everything.
And that's kind of what the host program turns to.
Right.
Is the tenant. Landlord.
Interesting.
But liveaboards, because they're there 365 days, you know, or presumably or a pretty significant portion, they can be, you know, it's going to be advantageous, and that's where they live, right? So they have ownership, you know, in a sense. So there's all these things. But it's like anything, if you have people that are really, they can be fantastic. Like if you're a landlord and you have a tenant and you have a great tenant, fantastic. If you have a bad tenant, horrific, right? So it's more a matter of sometimes of, you get the right people coming in, and it's a little bit tougher for like a public agency, because you don't really get to say no and pick and choose who, you know, if you have an opening and they're next in line, they get the option, you know. So whereas in private sector and you have a tenant, you go, no, I don't think so, you know, I don't think that's going to work, even though we do background checks and that kind of thing on limited background checks. So it's worth a discussion.
And my bringing it up wasn't to predict where the discussion would go, but just that hearing the range, and talk about it.
And it is. There's a real range.
So I kind of did my regular Kiwanis, Chamber Board. there's lots of events coming, starting really quickly here. We've got the Wine Walk coming up June 1st, and tickets go on sale the 1st of May. It's a really fun event for anybody that wants to do it. I also, for the first time, went to the Village Green Metropolitan Park District meeting, which I found very interesting. I know Mary used to be involved pretty heavily in the Park District and the Village Green, and so it was really fascinating to, from hearing you talk about it for years, and then actually listening to the different things that they do and how they manage it all here at the Village Green. And they're talking about the tennis court, and you know, it's in really poor disrepair, and that years down they're going to have to do something with it eventually, but they really can't afford to right now. The turnabout down here, the same thing. There's just things that are going to need to be repaired eventually. The interesting part that Linda brought up was that 8,181 people came through the Village Green doors in March.
Wow.
How many?
8,181. Hmm. Verify that with her, though, before you put it in. But I that's what I wrote down.
I can say probably.
And that the severe weather shelter was open 49 nights in a row because of our cold weather this last winter, which is, you know, they staff it. So there's people staying up all night to staff that for 49 nights. So I thought that was really interesting. So that's my report. Yes. So staff reports.
How's everybody?
Hi, Ray.
of course, running on all cylinders right now. Like I said, we're getting ready for the Ampage. I'd say May 11th is going to be a day to remember. We got the opening day of stripping, and it's almost Summerfest. So the Port of Kings will definitely out the charts. This will be up there comparable to the 4th of July events that we have. I got boaters just slowly starting to come in. It's just really starting to be a lot of fun. We've got all kinds of boaters. We've got a lot of yacht clubs coming in. A lot more yacht clubs wanting to make second visits for the course of the year because they had fun the first time, so that's always a good thought. I had a couple nice guys that came over from Shoshone today, young guys that came over and said that this is their favorite place to go, you know, which is a good thing when you start getting 28-year-old guys coming over here just in the middle of the day just to enjoy the Port of Kings today. That meant a lot to me when they told me that and how they're recommending to everybody where to go. The staff's doing really well. There's a lot to do. I mean, don't get me wrong there. We're trying to get the tent up. We did get that permitted. Thank you for that one. That was a big deal because we were kind of going backwards with the new getting the permit. It was kind of going backwards. You got a new person in charge, so he just, I don't know if he was trying to make a statement or what, but anyway, it's going in the right direction. We're going to get the concrete ready. We're going to get the tent up. You got a lot of wonderful young kids, medium age, I would say, out there doing the sailing club activities right now. It's so fun to see that over the jetty from the office. Really a nice group of kids that are going out there. You can tell they're having a lot of fun. And it's fun, even funner seeing them out there in the wind. I mean, more in the wind, seeing what direction, because you know, sometimes they're not sure about their bearings. Boy, they grow up fast. So that's been a lot of fun for me to see. Like I says, the tennis been really good. I mean, you know, they're coming to an understanding. We do have, you know, our challenge, of course, we all know, for insurance and getting this together. So I've been reaching out to them, and we're going to make it right. And hopefully they'll make it right with me. So we're going in the right direction, and that's a positive thing. Like I says, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just going to be so much fun this year. I just can't. Every day is just a new challenge, but every day is a lot of fun. And all the other tenants, you know, everybody's so unique, and to listen to stories, which I love stories, and I'll tell you, I mean, I love stories, and I'll my sister and listen, hopefully not. Anyway, we're doing really a lot of wonderful things down there, and like I said, staff is really, you know, really amped up, and we're just getting ready to go, so thank you guys from the top down. Thank you, Greg. Greg's been just inspirational for me, and it's got a lot of information for me, so and I'm absorbing as much as I can. So I thank everybody and everybody in the community, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun this year. I just can't wait. So.
Thank you, Ray. Lacey?
Let's see. Well, you mentioned Wine Walk, so I thought I'd mention Memorial Day. So we're having, the port is putting on a concert and we'll have a beer garden on May 24th. And we have three yacht clubs coming in. That Ray got in, and we also have been. I went to the 4th of July committee. I'm on the 4th of July committee and the Alma Summerfest committee. And so I just attended that, and they are. Last year, I guess there was something called Steve's Party. It's a fundraiser for the 4th of July, and at the yacht club. And they're going to do something like that again this year. They're going to actually try to have it on Memorial Day weekend. Because those yacht clubs coming in to get them over, we'll try to work it around with our schedule so that they can maybe get some people there because they have an auction and do some different things at the yacht club. So they'll be doing that day too. I'll be kind of working with them a little bit once they decide to come over at the yacht club. The storage shed looks really good. I don't know if I told you this last time. I don't know, time kind of goes by. It's been going by so fast. Steve and I finished pulling all the old boxes out. So we've got the new shelving in. It has the boxes that are going to be staying there in. We have a lot of space. We'll be able to bring on the top shelves on the side. It goes up really high. It's like an A-frame. So we'll be able to put some things up top that, we might struggle to store at the shop or the shed. That we don't get into often or at all. And so that's good. I'm trying to do the last push for the records project.
Right.
I'm actually going to bring another table in the morning. and because I'm into the last few boxes.
Good.
I say few, it was probably 10 or 12. But and so I'm right because that's how my process is. I'm making piles because everything is so scattered. That I need to put everything of the same type, like same project in piles, and then so that's what you guys see when you come and there's piles everywhere, papers. Training's moving forward with the staff. You guys probably got an email today.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
Yes, Linda.
The LinkedIn trainings stuff.
Yeah, Linda. And so if you need I sent it so you guys know, and also if you want to take advantage of it too. So just let me know if you do, and I can get you the login information for it.
Oh, okay.
Just didn't want to put it on the email, so.
Okay.
And.
I was going to say one last thing is that we did have an interesting phone call here last week from a potential person that wants to help donate a certain amount of funds that were part of our community since the 60s. And more and more, I've opened up this orange here, if you will. She's a really, really interesting lady that reached out to Greg. And of course, Greg and I have spoken with her. And she wants to be a part of the process of what direction Kingston is going. And they want to donate this very substantial amount of money or have it. And I think that number could go even higher than what it is. And so she gave me till the end of August to try to come up with something or come up with ideas to donate this money. And she's a teacher, retired, and she's got two sisters, and they've got husbands, and then the mom was there. And so her and I have been talking quite a bit. And there's so many different ideas that you'd like to go with, but they're really just soft-spoken. They don't want to have a big to-do about it, but they want to. It's amazing, like I said. So I got to do my homework right, but I'm going to be reaching out to you folks and other people.
Absolutely.
Just what makes sense for a very high quality amount of money to be donated to that they can be a part of, that they represent. People can see that they are a part of that, and we just don't We make the right choice, and she believes in when I spoke with her, and so I'm going to be reaching out to some people. We got till the end of August to bring ideas to her, and this could be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, you know, just ideas like maybe a sailing club float or a gazebo or maybe like your path that you were talking about, Steve, you know, trails or something. They just want to see the path to the future of Kingston, and it starts, like she says, down there at the port.
Yeah.
So, very exciting.
Right, tears in my eyes, because for them to want to do that and be part of it, and it's a big number.
That's great.
So we'll have to do it right and make it memorable.
Right.
Thank you.
Can I make another comment, which really starts with kudos to you, Ray, from Jamie Hunter, the drone guy. And he's apparently been speaking with you and is, I thought, started off not sure how this was all going to go, but is now feeling really positive towards our perspective, and suggested that sometime in the not totally distant future, but undefined, that it might make sense, and he would help organize a kind of a training day about drone policy, and which he said, commissioners, you, et cetera, might be interested in doing. Because I think that is going to, my ears perked up, because I think that is going to be more and more requests, and I'd like to be knowledgeable about our position on it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was what I meant.
He spoke highly of you.
I told whatever information that he has to please bring it to our attention and let us absorb whatever it is, because, you know, like you just said, Maria, you never know when you're going to have to apply it. So that's. So it's been really a knowledge, you know, wealth of knowledge for me. So
yeah, it grows and it keeps evolving. But I know the state came out with some state laws specifically to start putting controls in place. This is interesting. If you go on YouTube, they're basically doing a drone video on the ferry coming into Kingston, and then it goes into Kingston. It's actually a fantastic video. I learned a ton about Kingston and the area through it, and I like aerials. I love a visual like that, and so it's we'll be going out. We'll work with everybody who's trying to make it. But there's obviously security concerns, and because we, you know, are the landlord for the state ferry terminal, we just have to. We respect those guys and make sure that we. Don't cross paths with them when we know that can cause issues. But we've used drones. I've used drone operators, and in fact, they're invaluable even for our asset evaluation. So it's different if the port does it than if obviously people from outside. But yeah, we'll put something pretty. He sent a really, really informative email. I didn't even get. I read it once, and I started looking at it again to reread it because it was extremely involved. But he's a real professional. That was great. Very appreciated.
And actually, we met him at the Seattle Boat Show last year.
Yeah.
Oh.
When they had just moved here.
Wow.
So you asked me a question about what's the order of magnitude. So I want to return to that only because I don't want to just leave it like there's no information out there. I just hate quoting numbers unless they're absolutely rock solid on, and I usually double check them. And because I got spreadsheets, and then sometimes it's incorrect. And then somebody points it out, and then you look even more foolish than not quoting something. But basically, the 2%, 0.2% is around $9,500, I believe. But also, I want the commission to know, and this reflects on the staff. So we reduce our headcount by 2. So we're not very big to begin with, right? We have maybe 10 FTEs, and we had 4 temporaries. So that total is about 67,000 salaries, just a salary that goes directly to our bottom line. And so the staff, we didn't backfill those roles. So the staff is doing a heavier lift to cover those 2 positions, right? And so even though, for me, it's not like I think we're money ahead, and I think it's just the right, you know, it's the right thing to do. I know you guys felt that way too.
Yeah, definitely.
But it isn't like, you know, we've actually cut our overhead pretty substantially. We're not backfilling because the staff is also very aware and really sensitive to controlling our expenses and our costs. And until we really get our financials where we feel absolutely rock solid on them and we, you know, we're on the right path, they're all willing to step up and do a lot more work. And they are doing more work and they're covering it and they're still doing it in a very quality manner. So you should feel pretty good. For $9,500 and we reduce it to $67,000, you know, you're still money ahead by over $55,000, you know what I mean? So.
$95,000 in the year, too?
$9,500
for the whole
year? Yeah, for the year. Yeah, these are annual costs. So $67,000 is what we're saving for the year. And the 0.2% is about $9,500. So, but the staff, the work's not getting done. The work is still continuing. And the staff are, mainly the staff, that are picking up all the slack. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to tip my hat to them because they're stepping up and with a great attitude too. I don't really have a whole lot. I attend the Old Ports meeting. I just think those kids at Old Ports meetings are just super valuable and interesting. And it's, you know, it's always good to hear, like, a lot of people, we all share the same upside and some of the same downside, right? So, but it is good to compare notes with them and see how everybody's doing, especially since it's regional and specific to Kitsap. Kitsap's just so unique that we have 15 port authorities, even though they're very, very small, a lot of them. And we're all kind of, we band together to try to help one another as much as possible. And I think Jack and Matt over at Brownsville are super helpful and have reached out to a couple of the small ones that are right adjacent to them to help them. And we'll help each other. And I really appreciate that. I try to attend as many of these. I'm trying to attend as many community meetings as I can and kind of get up to speed. There's an awful lot of community, a lot of stuff going on in the community, and trying to track everything is a little bit of a challenge. But I do appreciate actually the commission, because you guys are already kind of immersed in these things and entrenched in so many ways within the community, and you share that. So it takes a little burden off of me to try to feel obligated to attend everything and keep up to speed. And the same with the staff. The staff is invaluable. The place is looking fantastic.
Sure.
You know, it's just amazing when they start really getting paying attention and working on the marina and the areas. I think it's just looking better and better. We did do some training, and we're trying to do more training. So we did invite DH Environmental in, where we put that together. So a lot of people got their 8-hour HAZWOPER, and we ran them through, including fueling and training up everybody on that. We have other training that's going on, and so in a way, that's investment in the staff and it's investment in the port. And so I just like seeing it, and I like it when people are, you know, raised like me, I hope, a lifelong learner. And so we're always taking a look at how we can improve things. And I think it's gonna be a really fun year. And I think a year from now, you know, I'm hoping our cash reserve should be substantially increased. And that will give me a lot better feeling. I'm a super conservative fiscally. And I just think that the staff everything is just continuing to solidify. So for me too. And we'll be working on these financial reports. I did reach out to Hearthstone. We'll start working on these financial reports to transition to an accrual-based GAAP approach to financial reporting. And we already have done some of that within our existing QuickBooks that we use. And our staff are really just doing a good job. There's a lot of awareness there. I want to thank Lacey. She's really working on, you know, doing multitasking as usual, and working on the archival project, and we're getting that up and running too. I think that'll be coming to an end here soon. I did talk to RCO again, because I wanted to be sure that I understood exactly what they wanted for submittals to be able to get the, we have $360,000 still coming back to us for the Washington Water Park project. It sounded like we've crossed just about every T and dotted the I, so we'll be submitting for that. The one thing we're going to have to do is get the deed of trust and get that submitted over at the county. And, you know, ethically, it sounded like RCO was okay with it if we didn't have that done yet. And we have till June 30th, but I'm going to try to get that done ASAP. and get that so that the Kitsap Community Foundation would be listed on the deed of trust so that it can't be converted from a park to back into some other development or something like that without it would revert back to them.
Right.
And that was
right.
in the agreement originally. Yeah. It just when they did the purchase sale agreement and they did the deed of trust, it didn't get listed.
Yeah, that part
it was just an oversight.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Colton Dean and we talked
That's
about
good.
It. He's totally fine yeah. with the way it is, the schedule, as long as we ultimately move out through on that. That's about it.
Can I say something else too? A lot of the training Greg was talking about was actually making the staff a lot more valuable, and they're biting into it too, which is wonderful because instead of just going through the motions, they're actually biting into it. We wouldn't have gotten to that point unless, like I said, Lacey here, she took the bull by the horns, got everybody just lined up, and she went through all of it with us. And I just want to say thanks to her for that because we wouldn't be anywhere close to be doing any training unless she did it all, and that's true, truth be told. But she reached out to the staff, and staff, you know, put in her 2 cents worth, but she was actually the bull behind the whole thing, and I appreciate her for that. Just so the commissioners know, we do have a couple projects we're trying to fit in amongst all the things that are actually going on. And I mean, there is a lot going on, but we're gonna try to get that yacht club painted and getting out to bids for that. And then we're still gonna be trying to, I'm gonna work with Greg, and he's got a smart man in the Mark Horton, that we're gonna work on coming up with our game plan for the parking lot out there. But if I can just get some of it rehabbed and get it into a respectable place to make it through the summer. But like I said, that's why I'm gonna reach out to Greg, because he's got the smart answers. So we're going to do it. But I just want you to know that if anybody talks to you at all, that we haven't forgot about it or anything like that. We still have
right,
water
yeah.
on our plate and it's in amongst the, everything else that's going on. So.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
In amongst everything else that's going on, I wanted to just mention that May 4th is the opening day for the Kingston Public Market.
I was going to mention that too.
May 4th.
And don't forget then to get what you guys want on the board. You probably want to put that up.
So. Right, right. And WSF, Washington State Fair's open house meeting will also go on the board.
That's right. I got a call today from someone and they were sending an email. I'll tell them where to send the email to the
fair. Fair meeting on the 29th, is that right?
Yes. Next Monday.
Next Monday is an interesting fairies meeting.
Yeah, be here.
At 6 to 8.
That's what I saw. So our next regular scheduled meeting is Wednesday, May 20th at 1 p.m. Oh,
I think that's a...
It might not be right.
I think we changed it after I did this.
Oh.
Yeah, Wednesday's the 22nd.
Right, so that's not right. It will be during that week sometime.
Monday, the next regular meeting is, at this point in time,
Monday,
May 20th.
May 20th.
At 1 p.m.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we had the 20th part right. So it's Monday.
Yep.
Okay, and for further updates, you can go to the Port of Kingston website, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Could I have a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
I second that motion.
Awesome.
All in favor?
Aye.
7:35, adjourning the meeting.